the truth. And that's it. These words mean something because they're true. They're true because they reveal the promises and the truth of God's Word. I'm just going to, read through some Psalms. In our darkest moments, we need to go to the light of God's Word, as difficult as that is. When it's the hardest to pray, that's when we need to pray the hardest. And that's not original with me. I've read that somewhere. I don't know if Spurgeon said it or somebody said it, but it's true. When it's the hardest time to pray, we need to pray the hardest. And even as we saw in Romans here, in chapter 8, when we don't know how to pray, we don't know how to express what's in our heart, the Holy Spirit is present. In verse 26 of chapter 8 of Romans, likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And He who searches the hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, that's God the Father searching our heart, knows the mind of the Spirit present with us, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints. He intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. And that's the preface of verse 28. The preface of verse 28 is the intercession of the Holy Spirit searching and pleading with groans that cannot be uttered before the Father as He searches our heart. The Holy Spirit is present, the Comforter, the Paraclete, the one who strengthens us, who holds us up. So that's the preface. The Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God, and we know. For those who love God, all things work together for good. For those who are called according to His purpose. For those whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, in order that He might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those whom He predestined, He also called, and those whom He called, He also justified. And those whom He justified, He also glorified. And there's been prayer vigils Monday night, Tuesday. I imagine there are prayer vigils all over Nashville and all over the nation tonight interceding. And I don't want to sound trite here, but it's not just the tragedy of these three precious 9-year-old children and these adults in the winter of their life, unjustly being killed. There's evil in this land. There's evil in this world. There's fallenness in this land and in this world. And politicians want to make it political, and we can just ignore them in some ways. It is a spiritual reality that's going on. this is what Paul is saying in Ephesians 6. He says, finally, be strong in the Lord and the strength of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. Jesus said in John 10, verse 10, part A, He says, the thief cometh not, but to kill, steal, and destroy. And he is still about that. That's still his agenda. That's still his instigation of the madness that's in this world, from wars to sexual identity confusion to the sanctioning of sin that God's word says is sin, but our culture says it's not, and all kinds of things. You know what I'm talking about. And that's instigated by the evil one. 1 John 5. Verse 18, we know that everyone who has been born of God does not keep on sinning, but he who is born of God protects him, and the evil one does not touch him. For we know that we are from God, and the whole world lies in the power of the evil one, the world system. That's why in Ephesians 2, Satan is called the little g, are the little p, prince of the power of the air. And in 2 Corinthians 2 Corinthians 4, he's called the little g, god of this world. What Paul says in Colossians 1, he says we've been delivered in verse 13. He has delivered us from the dominion of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. And so Paul says back here in Ephesians, we put on the whole armor of God to be able to stand against the schemes of the devil, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. Now, in some sense, every day is an evil day in this world, in the sense of Satan pushing his agenda in the hearts of people. But Monday was an evil day in Nashville. Monday was an evil day in that church school, that Covenant Church School, where these three innocent young children and these three innocent adults were gunned down because of evil, hatred. How can we stand in that day? Well, what Paul's saying here, we have to put on the armor of God. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in that evil day, and having done all to stand firm, stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth. That's why I said these songs are so precious, because they're rooted in the truth of God's word. Having put on the breastplate of righteousness. Now, that's not just the imputed righteousness of Christ. It's more the exercised righteousness of our obedience, that we walk in obedience and have practical and experiential righteousness because of that obedience to God. Holy living is what Paul's saying, I think he's talking about here. And as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish the flaming darts of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit. That's not talking about spirit language. It's just talking about praying under the authority and power of the Holy Spirit. With all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. Now, let me go to the Psalms. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, I pray you strengthen us by your word. Thank you for songs such as these that express the truth of your word. But Father, thank you for your word, the word of truth. Thank you for your Holy Spirit, who's the Spirit of truth. So Father, help us to understand that this is a spiritual battle. And the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, they're not fleshly, they're not human. But they're mighty, able to pull down strongholds that in every thought that exalts itself against the truth of who you are. And so, Father, we can bring every thought in our mind as believers into captivity to the mind of Christ. So, Father, as we read your word, speak to us by your word. May your Holy Spirit soothe our hearts. And we pray and intercede for these families and others, Father, that are suffering because of evil. And so, Father, we acknowledge that you are almighty, that you're omnipotent, that you're omniscient. And we trust, Father, you. We trust your character. We don't have answers on why these things happen other than the fallenness and the wickedness that's in the heart of mankind. That the only hope to remove that is in the gospel of your Son, Jesus Christ. So, Father, as we read your word, speak to our hearts. And we ask in Jesus' name, amen. Let's begin in Psalm 10. Why, O Lord, you stand far off? Why do you hide yourself in times of trouble? In arrogance, the wicked hotly pursue the poor. Let them be caught in the schemes that they have devised. For the wicked boast of the desires of his soul. And the one greedy for gain curses and renounces the Lord Yahweh. In the pride of his face, the wicked does not seek the Lord. All his thoughts are, there is no God. His ways prosper at all times. Your judgments are on high out of his sight. As for all his foes, he puffs at them. He says in his heart, I shall not be moved. Throughout all generations, I shall not meet adversity. His mouth is full of cursing and deceit and oppression. Under his tongue are mischief and iniquity. He sits in ambush in the villages. In hiding places, he murders the innocent. His eyes stealthily watch for the helpless. He lurks in ambush like a lion in his thicket. He lurks that he may seize the poor. He seizes the poor when he draws him into his net. The helpless are crushed, sink down, and fall by his might. He says in his heart, God has forgotten. He has hidden his face. He will never see it. Arise, O Lord God, lift up your hand. Forget not the afflicted. Why does the wicked renounce God and say in his heart, you will not call to account? But you do see, for you note mischief and vexation, that you may take it into your hands. To you the helpless commits himself. You have been the helper of the fatherless. Break the arm of the wicked and evildoer. Call his wickedness to account till you find none. The Lord is king. The Lord Yahweh is king forever and ever. The nations perish from his land. O Lord, O Yahweh, you hear, and I say that because that's what the word is there, and Yahweh is God's covenant name. It's his name of relationship, Yahweh. You will strengthen their heart. You will incline your ear to do justice to the fatherless and the oppressed, so that man who is of the earth may strike terror no more. And then Psalm 11. In you, Lord, I take refuge. How can you say to my soul, he's talking about others, he's talking about his friends, flee like a bird to your mountain, for behold, the wicked bend the bow, and they have fitted their arrow to the string, to shoot in the dark at the upright in heart. Yet the foundations are destroyed. What seems is happening in our world today, the foundations. What can the righteous do? Well, the Lord is in His holy temple. We look up. The Lord's throne is in heaven. We look in the context of eternity. His eyes see. His eyelids test the children of man. He tests the righteous, but his soul hates the wicked and the one who loves violence. Let him rain coals on the wicked, fire and sulfur and a scorching wind shall be the portion of their cup. For the Lord is righteous. He loves righteous deeds. The upright shall behold His face. Now just briefly, God's on His throne. He's in charge. And the wicked will not get away, just like he falsely says in his heart, you will not call into account. Yes, He will. And yes, He does. Particularly when the Lord Jesus comes back, He's going to judge the righteous and the unrighteous. He's going to judge the believers and the unbelievers. And He's going to make all things new and all things right. That's why God's word says, vengeance is mine, I will repay. The Lord is in His holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes see. His eyelids test the children of men. God is taking account every deed, every word, every action. And all of mankind will be held accountable. And the only way that we can escape His judgment upon sin is through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Psalm 13. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I take counsel in my soul and have sorrow in my heart all the day? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? Consider and answer me, O Lord, my God. Light up my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Lest my enemy say, I have prevailed over him. Lest my foes rejoice because I am shaken. Now that's an expression of despair, pain, sorrow, some respects anger, grief. And God can deal with those things in our heart. It's unimaginable. The pastor of this church, his 9-year-old daughter's only daughter, was killed by this insanity. It's unimaginable to me to try to put myself in his shoes. I can't give him any answers other than turn to God's word, and I think he knows that. Affirm the truth of God's word. Fall upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Rest in God's faithfulness and righteousness and His love and His grace, His mercy, His holiness. But here's what happens to the psalmist. But, verse 5, I have trusted in your steadfast love. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because He has dealt bountifully with me. Now, is that an easy thing to do? No. Does it take time? Yes. But we're people of faith. Someone said a long time ago, our trials will make us bitter or they'll make us better. They'll help us grow in faith, or if we allow them, we will allow them to challenge our faith and become angry at God. I don't have the answers. My granddaughter has cystic fibrosis. She's in the hospital right now down in Jacksonville, Florida. A second time. She's going to have her birthday tomorrow. She's going to be 12 years old. It's at least the second time, by my recollection, that she spent her birthday in the hospital. She spent over a year of her young life in the hospital. She's struggling right now with the questions, why do I have this disease and other kids don't? Why am I not normal like other kids? Why, when other kids get sick, they stay home for a day and then they come back to school. I get sick, I spend 2, 3, 4, 6 weeks in the hospital. At the age of 12, she's wrestling with that. And I pray that she'll come to know that God has fearfully and wonderfully made her, and He will work in the midst of her life for her salvation and for His glory. But I pray for her like that. I pray for these families, that they will find their strength, they'll find their hope, they'll find their peace in the Lord Jesus Christ. Does that mean that pain does not reoccur? Of course it's going to reoccur. But there is a balm in Gilead that can save the sin-sick soul and that can soothe the grieving soul. And that is the grace and love of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we exercise that by faith. And the way our faith is strengthened is the Word of God. Romans 10:17, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing the word of God, the word of Christ, hearing the gospel, hearing the message of God, and trusting in His word. I'm going to read Psalm 30. And in some ways these are random. They're not really random, but these psalms contain what's called songs of lament. The heart cry, lamenting before God. Psalm 30. I extol you, O Lord, for you have drawn me up. You have not let my foes rejoice over me. O Lord, my God, I cry to you for help, and you have healed me. O Lord, you have brought up my soul from Sheol. You restored me to life from among those who go down to the pit. Now, specifically, this verse speaks to the Lord Jesus Christ that we'll celebrate. I said Sunday. I thought last Sunday was Palm Sunday, but it's this Sunday, and then the 9th is going to be Easter Sunday. Some of my folks kindly corrected me at lunch Sunday. But this verse specifically is speaking of the Lord Jesus. As he says to the Father, you have brought up my soul from Sheol, from the grave, and you restored me to life from among those who had gone down to the pit, to death, to the grave. And the resurrection of Jesus Christ is why we have hope. We serve a living Savior. We serve the risen Lord God, who has conquered sin and conquered death and conquered the grave, and offers us the gift of everlasting life. Sing praises to the Lord, O you, His saints, and give thanks to His holy name. For His anger is but for a moment, His favor is for a lifetime. Weeping may tarry for the night, but joy comes in the morning. As for me, I said in my prosperity, I shall never be moved. By your favor, O Lord, you made my mountain stand strong. You hid your face. I was dismayed. To you, O Lord, I cried, and to the Lord I plead for mercy. What profit is there in my death if I go down to the pit? Will the dust praise you? Will it tell of your faithfulness? Hear, O Lord, and be merciful to me, O Lord, my helper. You have turned for me my mourning into dancing. You have loosed my sackcloth and clothed me with gladness, that my glory may sing your praise and not be silent. O Lord, my God, O Yahweh, my God, I will give thanks to you forever. And then one last psalm I want to read through is Psalm 77. I cry to the Lord, aloud to God, and he will hear me. In the day of my trouble, I seek the Lord, Yahweh. In the night, my hand is stretched out without wearying. My soul refuses to be comforted. When I remember God, I moan. When I meditate, my spirit faints. You hold my eyelids open. I am so troubled that I cannot speak. I consider the days of old, the years long ago. I said, let me remember my song in the night. Let me meditate in my heart, that my spirit made a diligent search. Will the Lord spurn forever and never again be favorable? Has his steadfast love forever ceased? And the answer to that is no. Are his promises at an end for all time? No. Has God forgotten to be gracious? No. Has he in anger shut up his compassion? No. But this is where the psalmist is. This is what he feels. This is what is breaking his heart. He's saying, God, how can this happen to me? Then I said, I will appeal to this, to the years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your wonders of old. I will ponder all your work and meditate on your mighty deeds. Your way, O God, is holy. What little g God is great like our God? They're not, because they're not gods at all. You are the God who works wonders. You have made known your might among the peoples. You, with your arm, redeemed your people, the children of Jacob and Joseph. When the waters saw you, O God, when the waters saw you, they were afraid. Indeed, the deep trembled. The clouds poured out water, the skies gave forth thunder, your arrows flashed on every side. The crash of your thunder was in the whirlwind. Your lightning lighted up the world. The earth trembled and shook. Your way was through the sea, your path through the great waters. Yet your footprints were unseen. You led your people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. What the psalmist did, he's remembering the faithfulness of God. That's why we go to the Word of God. That's why we go to Calvary, where God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. Now, I'm not going to pretend that exercising faith is easy, but it is a necessity. It is what we're called to do. We're called to be people of faith. We're called to trust in the God that at times we can't even think he's present, but he is in the life of every believer. Now, can unbelievers exercise faith? Only by the grace of God to have saving faith, I think, and grow in that faith. But we as the people of God are to exercise faith. We couldn't come to know Jesus Christ except by exercising faith, by crying out to God. And that's our task even today. And I'm not saying there's easy answers, but I am saying that the answer is in the true and living God revealed to us in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we come to his Word, and we read his Word, and we let the Holy Spirit saturate our hearts and our thoughts with his Word. And then we exercise faith. We believe. We take God at his Word. We praise him. Read 1 chapter James, 1 chapter 1 Peter. Paul in Philippians over and over again. The admonition is for us to rejoice in the Lord, to exercise our faith in Him, to set our eyes upon Him. Now, does God know about suffering? Yes, in the sense of what Jesus suffered for us. The Lord Jesus know about suffering? Yes. That's why we have such a great high priest. That's why he was tempted in all points like we, yet without sin. And what does God's word say in Hebrews 4? Since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. Let us hold fast it how? By faith, by the promises of God. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Jesus never yielded to temptation, but he knows the power and strength of temptation. Let us then, with confidence, draw near. Satan wants to drive you away from God by horrible things like happened Monday, or things that happen in your life. The foundation seems to be crumbling in your life. Satan wants to drive you away. Adam and Eve ran away from God when God was calling them to himself. Sin will drive you from God. But if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just, forgive us our sins, and we can draw near. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace. The throne of grace. The throne of grace. To help in time of need. Father, I pray that particularly these families that have suffered such tragedy Monday, and others, Father, across this land, others, Father, dealing with all types of sorrow in their heart. Father, first of all, if they do not know you, I pray that by your grace you'll call them to yourself and you'll bring the gospel across the threshold of their life and open their heart to the truth of who they are in their sin and who Jesus is in his sufficient work in his life, death, and resurrection. And Father, call them to yourself through your Son, Jesus Christ. And Father, that they might be a person of faith, that they might trust in you in all circumstances. And Father, we as believers, help us, Father, to trust in you. Help us to draw near to you. When it's the hardest to pray, help us to pray the hardest. When we're conscious of sin in our life and it wants to drive us from you, Father, help us to confess that sin and come to the throne of grace and receive help and mercy and grace in our time of need. So, Father, we just pray that this would be so in the hearts and lives of these families and of every family, Father, that is turning to you for your grace and for your mercy. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this Sunday is Palm Sunday. I stand corrected. And I think I'm going to maybe deal, I think I did this several years ago, and so I may be in some sense repeating myself, but I never try to preach the same sermon over again. I look at the idea and try to rework it and make it fresh. But I'm leaning to dealing with not just Jesus' first triumphal entry into Jerusalem, which we call Palm Sunday, but his triumphal entry when he returns in the clouds at the end of the age. And if you don't receive him in his first coming, then there's going to be great sorrow to you in his second coming. Those of us who have received him, there's going to be great joy in his return. And so I think that's where I'm leaning as I'm looking at God's word for this Sunday. And then the 9th will be Easter Sunday, and we'll be looking at chapter 16 of Mark. the first half of chapter 16 of Mark on Easter Sunday. So Lord bless you. If you have a church home, be faithful to your church home. If not, join us maybe at Antioch. We're at 18319 Wild Horse Creek Road in Chesterfield. We have Bible study at 9:30 and worship at 10:45. Be faithful to your church and maybe join us later on Facebook or YouTube. God bless you, and Lord willing, we'll see you next week.